Jesus said, he is God, not of the dead, but of the living. For to him all of them are alive. I speak to you this day in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. If you're a political junkie like myself, you know that the American presidential election is less than 1 year away as of this week. My wife asked me the other day what we were going to watch on TV now that one of our shows were done, and I said, just get ready for the winter, the Democratic primaries are coming. And she said, you can get another TV. But there we go. But nonetheless, the election is coming. And regardless of what happens in an American election, whether the president wins or loses, as soon as he starts his second term, he is a lame duck president and is not likely to get any legislation passed because they're already on to the next election cycle. One major thing that takes up former presidents' time, though, is legacy building. Presidents will go around in their second terms, opening various libraries and museums with their names on them. They will start fellowships and grants and give all kinds of wonderful speeches and talks about all the wonderful things that have happened during their presidency. Now, this will go on for a few months and years, but then it will keep going and going and going until the day that they die. For instance, a Canadian example, I heard on the radio the other day that Stephen Harper was in Israel to open a bird museum named after him. And so it goes on and on. Now, why do politicians do all of this work at the end of their terms when they have left office? It doesn't matter who they are. They do all this work because when they are long dead and gone, they want people to remember them. They want people to remember all the great things that they did, and they want to live on in the memories of people's memories, excuse me. Now, it is not just politicians that do this. We all tend to do this in some way. It seems to be part of the human condition that inside of all of us, we have this impulse to leave something behind. We want to be remembered, and if not remembered, we certainly don't want to be forgotten. Now, why don't we want to be forgotten? And reflecting on this question, I came across that famous saying from a few years ago in society when I was young, YOLO, you only live once, as Drake says. But we are told that that's what we need to do, to only live once. And so we need to be great at something, we need to exceed at something, and we need to be remembered, because that is how we will live on when we are dead and gone. We live in a society where it is no longer acceptable that when our life has come to an end and it is over, it is no longer acceptable to ride off quietly into the sunset. We have to leave something behind of ourselves. This brings us to our gospel reading for today, which we find in the Gospel of St. Luke. The story that we hear today in St. Luke is part of a set of stories in which different groups of people come and try to trap Jesus and prove that his teaching is wrong. This story on the face of it seems like it is about marriage, but really it is about legacy, living on after death, and the promise of resurrection from Jesus. So in this gospel narrative, some Sadducees, a group of Jewish people at the time, come to Jesus. Now they are a group of people that do not believe in the resurrection of the dead. This is what makes them different from other Jewish groups. Now they come and they try to trick Jesus using some ridiculous, yet logical in their eyes, example to prove that there is no such thing as the resurrection of the dead and life after this world. The Sadducees believed that you lived on in name only after you died. Once you died, that was it. To them, how a person lived on was their legacy, their children after their death. So the Sadducees come to Jesus on the road and they say, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. You see, the children would take on the brother's name, and that is how he would live on after death." Now, this is indeed written in the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. It says, "When a brother reside together and one of them dies and has no son, the wife of the deceased should not be married outside the family to a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go on, taking her in marriage, and they shall have children, and the deceased brother's name shall live on in that children, so that they are not blotted out of Israel, so that they are not forgotten, in other words, so that their name lives on." According to the Sadducees, when one dies, this is it. This is how they live on, in name only. So the Sadducees then say to Jesus, now Jesus, there are seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married the woman. And so in the same way, all seven brothers died childless. Finally, also the woman died. At that point, the Sadducees have laid out their case in front of Jesus, indeed following the logic of the law. Then they ask him that question in order to try to trap him. They say, Jesus, if the resurrection is really true, when all are raised from the dead, the brothers and the wife, whose wife will she be? It seems like a perfectly logical question, but Jesus responds by saying this. He says, those who belong to this age, in other words, to this world, marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection neither marry or are given in marriage. Indeed, they are like angels, being children of the resurrection. Then Jesus goes on to tell the Sadducees that Moses himself proved the resurrection when he speaks of the burning bush. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs of the nation being dead and gone, are spoken of as if they are alive. The burning bush says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Jesus says that they are not dead but living, because God is God of the living and not the dead. You see, this is not a story about marriage at all. Although it may seem that way at first, it is rather a story about resurrection and the promise of new life after this earth, and specifically, Jesus' promise of resurrection of the dead. The Sadducees come and try and trick Jesus using some scripture and logic, but they can't seem to comprehend one thing, and that is this. In Jesus, there is resurrection and there is life, and that means there is no death. So things like the law about marriage that were once used in order to keep someone's name alive after death, to keep someone living on, are no longer needed. They no longer apply, because in Jesus there is only life and not death. There is resurrection. There is new life. Because you see, my brothers and sisters, if we believe that the resurrection is really a reality, that we live on after this life, and that the promises of Jesus are true, questions like this of the Sadducees no longer need be asked, because we don't really die. After this earthly death, we go and be to sleep with the Lord, as the scripture says, in new life, in resurrected life. Now, this past week, we have just celebrated two of the major feasts of the Christian Church, the Feast of All Saints and the Feast of All Souls, and today and tomorrow we will mark Remembrance Day of those who died in the great wars. Now, as Christians, we mark and celebrate these feasts every single year, but they only make sense if we believe in the promises of Jesus, if we believe in the resurrection from the dead, in new life after this death. Jesus tells the Sadducees and his followers in the story that marriage is a thing of this world and does not belong in the next. Things in the next world are different. Marriage is not needed because we are not our same selves. We are like angels with the Lord. You see, part of the Sadducees' problem is they think of everything in the terms and definitions of this world and cannot simply accept that in the resurrection, in the new kingdom, everything is different. Everything is set right. Everything is made new. It is very easy for us to sit here and read the story of Scripture and say, those Sadducees just don't really understand. But I think if we are really honest with ourselves, we may have more in common with them than we'd like to admit. We may say intrinsically in our hearts that we embrace the promise of Jesus and believe in the reality of new life after death, but by our actions we say something different. We do all kinds of things to build our own legacies, and we all have actions that would suggest we don't fully embrace the promises of Jesus, that we will be raised from the dead, and that earthly death does not have the final word. I think that if we are all truly honest with ourselves, we will come to this conclusion. Now, we all want to believe that death is not the final word. We all want to embrace the promise of the resurrection and new life that Jesus offers. But that is a tough promise, and it is especially tough and hard to understand in our culture today, where many people say you die and that's it. Today's culture, where the motto seems to be you only live once, you had better make the best of it, does not fit with the gospel, does not fit with new life after death. So in the face of this culture, what are we supposed to do as Christians, as people who embrace Jesus and the promise of resurrected life? We are to live as if all the promises of Jesus are a reality in the here and now, even the resurrection of the dead, because that is what faith is, living in the present as if the future promises of God are a reality in the here and now. So this means we let the things of this world go. We don't spend inordinate amounts of time and money building our legacies. We don't do that because we move forward with the conviction that this is not the end, that death is not the final word, that we go on living after this life. Because after all, we are worshipers of Jesus Christ, the one who was nailed to a cross and 3 days later rose again for the dead. We are worshipers of Jesus Christ, who is that same God who said, "I am the God of the living and not the dead." So today, let's write those words on our hearts as we remember those who died in the Great War, that Jesus is the God of the living and not the dead. Amen.